Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Doctrine of Truth. Bishop Poole, glad to have you again here today. And a wonderful day. This is another day that the Lord has made. The Bible says that we should rejoice and be glad in it. You know, God made the world and all everything that's in it. And I believe the Bible. I believe what God has said. And I trust in the Word of God. I trust in the Word of God. And He is our guideline. The one that created the heaven and the earth, He is our guideline. If it wasn't from Him, we would have no life here today. We like to start off always with a prayer. And we're praying today for wisdom. We're praying today for knowledge. Of course, like today, we discuss.
Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
My brother Tripp, cheer up my sister. Live in the sunshine. Amen. You're here.
Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, I just see that. They did that, waiting for the host, already signed in. Again, we had a little small
amen, vacation, and we had a little small area, amen, where we was going through, amen, some small technical problems, which we know that's a part of life and everything, and God is still able to do everything but fail. And this is just encourage you, amen, talking about tonight, amen, today, wherever you are, discipleship. We have to walk on. Doesn't matter what come or what may go, temptation, trials, and tribulation. The snow, the rain might come, and problems going to come, situations going to arise. But we just have to walk on. We just have to move on because God loves us. He cares for us. And the more that you work to see that, the more that you put yourself involved, amen, in God's plan, you will understand that He really does care. He really does love you and care for you. But we, amen, have been some been taught different. Some have been taught situations, amen, that's, you know, is not proper. And that's what we're talking about tonight, amen, as a whole, wherever you are, we're discussing, amen, discipleship. Discipleship. And we want you to be encouraged wherever you are. God does have a purpose in a life for you. He does have a purpose in life for you. Amen. Father, we thank you right now, Lord God, for wherever those that are calling, whatever problem they're going through, whatever condition they are in, the snow, the rain, the storm, oh God, depression, the hunger, the loneliness. Oh God, even though they feel that everyone have left them, but you said that you be with them always, even to the end of the world. Lord, we ask you to bless them, amen, wherever they are again, because you say we're two or three touching and agreeing, and we all in agreement tonight, Lord. We come together, we meet sometime as a panel, sometime we meet on the internet, and individuals reviewing. And we pray, oh God, we're asking in your Son Jesus' name that, amen, we know you love, amen, that you would show your hand tonight of mercy and forgiveness to those that say they will forgive. And Lord, we ask you to touch the hearts of those that carry bitterness, oh God, unforgiveness, oh God, jealousy and strife, oh Lord, in the name of Jesus. And you let them know that life is more important than things, because things can come and go. Amen. The weather, amen, is proving that. Amen. Oh God, that life, you come looking for souls, for people. Amen. You invested so much and your Son walked this earth, amen, as a human being. And we thank you for it. We thank you for it. Amen. We thank you for it. Thank you. Amen. Jesus is love, and we know he's love, and this is what discipleship is about. God told his disciples, amen, to go into all the world, and he left a great commission. It was a commandment. It was a commandment for us to do. He commanded us, amen, to tell others, amen, to tell others about Christ, amen. Tell others and teach others, amen. We want to read a portion from the Master Plan of Discipleship, amen, by Brother Robert Coleman, amen. Master of Discipleship by Brother Robert Coleman, amen, about a ministry lifestyle. Great Commission is not a special call or a gift of the Spirit. It's a command, an obligation, whereby the whole community of faith, there's no exception, the bankers, presidents, automobile mechanics, physicians, school teachers, theologians, homemakers, everyone who believes in Christ has a part in his work, according to John 14 and 12. Biblically speaking, we cannot define clergy or laity as mutually exclusive terms. In the bond of Christ, all are laity, are part of the people of God, and equally share the responsibility to make disciples. By the same criteria, the whole body of believers receive the inheritance of Christ, which is not the root idea, and it is the root idea of the term of New Testament from the word clergy derived. Amen. And you'll find here, amen, we share in a portion of this book, amen, whereby all of us should consider ourselves, amen, as disciples, and also we should consider ourselves that we have a job. We have a job to do. We have a job to do. Amen. We like you share and call a friend, tell a friend. Amen. We're going to have a panel tonight, as always, but we're going to have some open mics tonight, and we're going to open up the microphones, and wherever they might be, you can call a friend, tell a friend. Amen. They can call 855-236-2252, 855-236-2252, a toll-free number, or they can call 1-347-215-8816. 347-215-8816. Amen. And God, amen, will meet us because of his word. He said where two or three are come together in his name, there he be in the midst. Let me read a portion as well from the book of Romans. Paul is writing, amen. He said, brethren, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen. Not only he went along further, he said that, the third verse, I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according to God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Everybody have faith now. Don't think you have faith. You do. You do. Everybody depend on God and trust in God. Not only that, but faith is the substance of the thing hoped for. You hoping in something. Amen. We praying that, amen, it be in God, and that's what the Lord, amen, his desires that, you know, Paul was expressing. Every man have a measure. The fourth verse goes on and says that, for as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one to another. Having then gifts different according to the grace that is given to us. Well, the prophecy, let us prophesy according to the portion of faith. Ministry, let us wait on our ministry. He that teaches on teaching, he that exalteth on exaltation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, he that show mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cling to that which is good. Whatever, amen, you know, a gift is something that people can do in the righteous part, whereby giving, helping, administrating, amen, and sharing goodness with others, helping others, calling others, praying for others, amen. Whatever your gift is, God had given to you before you was born, amen, before you came into this earth. And this is what Block Talk is about, amen. We're about spreading the gospel, bringing good news on a grassroots level, on a grassroots level, and hoping it would inspire you, amen, from the milk of the word, that you can grow, that you can grow. Well, yes, we want to make it simple as possible, that you can grasp a revelation and go write a book, go make a song, amen, tell your dream, amen, tonight, amen. This is what we're about. Today, that's what we're about. This afternoon, that's what we're about. Amen. We're talking about, amen, God had instilled in us to tell others. And not only that, he said, make disciples, make followers of him. Make followers. Reduplicate yourself. Amen. Tell somebody. You know, fathers teach their children. And every child says, oh, I want to be like mama. I want to be like dad. Amen. I want to be like grandpa. In certain way, people learn through seeing, hearing, tasting, touching. Amen. They learning something. And Jesus taught. Even God walked in the Garden of Eden every afternoon. Amen. And mentored Adam. They share. They talk. Amen. They fellowship. And it all down through the years, all down through the Old Testament, on down to even now. Amen. Amen. If we have a caller online, you can come right in. Amen. And share. Amen. What you think is important. Amen. To be a disciple and who helped you and share your insight. Go right ahead. God bless you. You're on the air.
Praise God, Bishop. It's good to be back in the Word. Good to come together. I'm looking at John 8:38, verse 31, and then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And John 15:8, he said, Here is my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. You know, Bishop, ever since the day that we were born into this world, we began to imitate and follow those that was around us. It began with our parents. It was our parents' duty and responsibility to teach us the word, the truth, the word of God, and that we would grow up in the word. That was their responsibility to their children. And as we grow, you know, as we go along in life and begin to grow, there are many things and people that we may follow or try to imitate at one point or another. But eventually, we'll come back to the truth. If that truth has been instilled in us since we were children, we'll return to that truth. And when we do, or some of us walk in that truth all our lives, but this is where our lives go. While we're here on this earth, we're going to follow some doctrine of some kind, and it is the truth of the word that we should strive to follow. But those disciples are those people who have decided of all the word out here and all the people to follow. They have looked to Christ and decided that this is the one that I will follow. This is the truth. This is what they call the real McCoy. And that's where we are today. As we go through experiences in life, more and more it come evident to us that we don't know the way.
Yeah.
And that there is only one way, and that way is to follow Christ. And sometimes it takes quite a few experiences in our life before we are mature to the point that we'll see that, hey, we tried our way, and now there's nothing but to try the one way. And that one way is turn to the Word of God.
Amen, amen. Totally agree, and that's why it's so important that those who have accepted Christ, like Paul said, amen, in Romans 10, they turn, decided, and understand now, amen, they have to transform their mind. They have to transform their mind. They have to take the old information and compare it, you know, like people compare prices and see who got the best deal. But here we come into the world, amen, of sin, and we're looking at bad information. We don't know it's bad information. When we start to line it up, somebody have to help us to line it up with God. Somebody has to help us. Somebody has to step out and volunteer, amen. And this is what the program's about a little bit tonight, concerning those that decided that, well, I'm going to church and listen to the choir and listen to the speaker, and I'm exempt, and I'm going home. And yes, I'm going to live my life godly as much as possible, but I don't want to offend anyone. I don't want to say anything. But look what's happening around you when you don't say anything.
Mm-hmm.
All of us have the responsibility to tell somebody and show somebody about Christ. And
Amen.
It's been a breakdown. It's been a breakdown. Amen. It's been a breakdown. Amen. If anyone else can call and just, you know, give a testimony, maybe somebody has encouraged you and you thought you was wrong, and you find out, you say, well, I'm right, and, I was wrong and I was right, and somebody had to slowly guide you, and then you caught it. You caught on to listen to people and looking and watching. Amen. You can call 1-855-236-2252. You can share your testimony, or just go right ahead and push 1, and our technician will put you in. We'd love to hear from you. Amen. The world, go right ahead. Oh, we have another. All right, go right ahead. You're on the air.
Good evening, Bishop. Good evening, and good evening to your audience. Yes, I listening to your broadcast tonight about the Great Commission and about having a testimony about, as the previous brother mentioned, being a child, being in church, and you're hearing the word. And when I was in prayer here just recently, I was asking the Lord, what was it that really drew me to you? And I really thought about my grandfather, who was a Pentecostal deacon, and there was nothing about his life that I actually saw that wanted me to follow Christ. I know he was a saved man, that's as much as I know as a child. But the thing that really caught me was, when I thought about it, it was being in church, being in that building, growing up as a child, being in Sunday school, being in Christmas plays, Easter plays. Mm-hmm. That word was there. Train up a child in the way he should go, and he will not depart. That word was there. And at some point in time, of course, later in my life, the word took root. And as a result, I was saved, Holy Ghost filled. And the first person I went to indicate that I had changed my life, I had my life experience changed, was my grandfather in the Pentecostal church. So that word is life. It is definitely life, and it just made its implantation in me and caused me to come to Christ. But the other point I want to bring out was I think sometimes we tend to forget what Jesus said when he came out of the 40-day temptation. When he came, Satan left him after those 40 days, and one of the first things he did was walk by the Sea of Galilee. I'm coming from Mark chapter 1, verse 16, and it says here, now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And verse 17 reads, And Jesus said unto them, Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And this is what we are. We're in Florida, and there are a lot of fishermen in Florida, so we fishermen know what bait is all about. We know what lures are all about. We know how important it is to put the right amount of bait out there to catch that fish. Mm-hmm. And one thing we have to, I believe the church needs to really become aware of is that we are stewards. Yes, we are stewards of God's property, what we have, the gifts we have, the callings that come into our lives, even the homes we have, even the education we have, the jobs, the professions we have. Whatever we have, we're stewards over it, yet it's not really ours. It belongs to God. And I've come to one conclusion personally that everything every born-again believer possesses, which is actually he's managing for God, is a part of a giant tackle box. It's all bait.
Okay.
It's all used to lift up Jesus so men could be drawn unto him. Because that's a profound statement Jesus made. The first thing he did after getting coming off of the Mount Temptation was to walk by the seashore and said, Come and I will make you fishers of men. So we have to realize that we are ambassadors of Christ, we are stewards, yet we are fishing. We are finding creative means to place some kind of lure out there in the world and get men's attention through lifting up Jesus, through that lure, through that creative ability, that creative skill, that whatever God has given us, it's there for one purpose and one purpose only, and it is to draw men to Jesus Christ. Because this is what we have. Every one of us has something in our personality, something educationally, some skill, some gift that can be used by God when we actually seek God and find out where he wants it. And it will draw someone to Jesus Christ. Thank you, Bishop.
God bless you, Williams. Always good to hear from you. You do a lot of traveling. We do a lot of traveling in different countries. And you hit a point there, and quite sure someone else can come right in and follow that. And I thought about that. When you're fishing, and you want to go to the salt water and bring a freshwater bait. Amen. They're all baits for certain type of water, certain type of fish, all bait for certain type of water. And I caught that. Amen. Your lifestyle, your background, you are ready to attract people, the same type of people, same type of people. Brother Hester, what do you think about that? Amen.
You're right. I was just thinking. But brother, he was speaking, I was listening to that, and it's true. You know, Paul, you know, he truly believed in what he was doing until the Lord and this got his attention.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we are children, and our parents, you know, people that made us go to church, and like you say, it made us go, and at that time, it wasn't something you wanted to do, but as you went and you participated in programs and things. As you got older, at some time or another, when you were going through something, there was a word or a phrase or some incident that happened in the church that the word is so strong and powerful, Bishop, that at any given time, the Lord will keep calling you and you will remember a particular word or phrase or incident that happened at church. And this is why we need to take our children to church. And in today's society, 21st century, this is what's missing, where that we've got a lot of single parents, and they're not taking the children to the church.
Yeah.
Because never know in their lives when that one time that they was in church, there was a word or something that happened that's going to draw them to the Lord at this point in their life, and no longer where they go astray, but they'll start seeking the word of God now with a diligence, and all because a seed was planted at some time or another. And the word is strong enough to take care of itself. God's word will not return to him void.
Yeah.
And at some point or another, if you have heard it, then at some point in your life, when you're down at some point, it's going to come back to you. And it's that one word is enough we inspire you to get up on your own now and go seek the Lord for yourself. And that's when you become in, get into when you want to be a disciple of the word, because simply the fact you have a desire now. Because we, like Saul, you have done it all. Father, you have done everything you thought you know to do. And when you come to the truth, and the truth, and Saul, like it had to blind him in order to open his eyes to the light of the world, or the light of the word. And right. And that's where it is with a lot of us. We run around doing what we want to do most of our lives, and all of a sudden we get to a point where something happens, and it is the simple word of God or that one experience in the church that changes our lives and make us not seek after the word as opposed to following ourselves.
All right. All right. I remember exactly what about planting the seed. And so the church should be an environment that teaches discipleship, teaching about Jesus and teaching the word. I was in a part of Marathon, Florida, and this sailor, he had a boat, well, a ship. He was a fisherman, and him and he just had only two people work on the boat with him. It's a large ship, and it went down. It went down. They was on the water. He said about 10, 12 days. They didn't know, and these big ocean liners that come by him, and they almost wash him over because nobody could hardly see them. They were so small on the ocean, and these big liners, they almost drowned them sometime on the little lifeboat. And I found, amen, he said he learned the 23rd song. He learned the 23rd song, and he said that the next thing he knew, amen, a liner came up, and a man was on the side looking over, and he saw them. And in the next hour or more, a ship came back and picked him up. All right, we have another caller on the line. Just press 1. Okay, go right ahead. Hello? 4556, you're on the air. 4556, your last 4-digit. God bless you. God bless you. Press 1. Amen.
Hello?
Okay. Hello? All right, you're on the air. Go right ahead.
Can you hear me, Bishop?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Go right ahead.
Yeah, how you doing tonight?
Okay.
Brother Daniel,
you?
I'm good. I wanted to come in and talking about the church. I want to talk about my church. And my bishop was on the air, Bishop Poole, and I was one of my best times of my ministry. I was ministering with my grandmother. I was ministering in different places, but until I got rooted, when y'all go to talk about the seed, when I got rooted and grounded at my church, and just like we're talking about tonight, talking about grassroots ministry, Bishop started teaching me how to stay stable. Don't go here, you know, like a tree. Get yourself planted. When you get yourself planted, stay there and get a good, solid foundation. And I was thinking, when you can grow tall in the word, you can grow tall in ministry. If you think about any tree, it takes a while before it breaks ground, before it really comes out. Think about a high rise. You got to dig it real deep for those real high rises to stand that tall. And I was thinking, since I've been in this ministry, how God has been just raising me up. And it's not because I've been here and there and everywhere, but I've been staying at my church and getting that good teaching from my mentor. And he's been teaching me, go out, and when you, even on your job, you just like the church, you be stable and you be faithful. And I tell you, I've been getting different offers, and I probably could go and find a job with more money, but God's given me this one job, and I've been faithful on it, and God's been teaching me through his word, through different conflicts I go through. God said, and I was reading 16 chapter of John, he said it was already predicted that we're going to go through different conflict and persecution. And sometimes because we go through different things in different churches that we go go to, we'll pick up our briefcase and leave. But that right there be making us and making us strong, getting our roots deep in the ground. And I tell you, that's where my change coming. I'm starting to see that, you know, now I have something to preach about. I got something to talk about. I got something to testify about. I done went through something. I went through a little suffering. And I could tell somebody, you can go through. You can go through. You can be strong. You can be stable in your church. You can grow. You don't have to stay in the pews and just watch it all the time and coming in and visiting and leaving out. You start taking on different positions, you know, starting to help in this area and that area and being a true disciple. And that's what one thing I was being focused on too lately. I looked at in the Bible how God didn't focus on the multitude. Sometimes we go looking for a church with a whole bunch of people. But God focused on his team of 12. And those team of 12 had stood by Jesus. And last night, one of the people on our team, Sister Poole, his bishop's daughter-in-law, was teaching us on the Beatitude. And if you think about it, Jesus was sitting by himself. And he said the disciples came as he was sitting down teaching on them. So he taught this to the world and to his church about being humble, about being poor in spirit, you know, all those good type of spirit character that we have to have. Not only in our church, but in our work. And I tell you, that's what a success is. When we sit there and labor, and God will bring out our untapped potential, and we'll see who we are. Like Brother Hessel was talking about our skills. We might be a fisherman. I don't want to tell, I don't know what kind of gig you got. You might be a musician. You might be an insurance broker. Whatever it is, he's going to bring out that potential. But you're going to have to get somewhere planted and rooted and grounded so your pastor, your mentor can you know, pour into you. And then you're going to pay your tithes. It's from a lot of things. From paying your tithes, all those little things. Being stable, right. God, there's a blessing. That's it.
Okay.
I just want to bring that in.
Okay. Anyone else have a testimony? A testimony as well. Thank God for Mr. Daniel. All right, we have another caller. Go right ahead. 4556, last four digits. 4556, last four digits. Go right ahead. Amen. God bless you. Amen. We have a little technical problem with that number. Amen. From 561. Amen. As well as, you know, that's what it's all about. Once you learn, and I don't think, you know, sometimes the revelation, we that's why Paul said we need to renew our mind, and we have to prove that which is good, acceptable. I'm quite sure that many will call tonight, and today, and tomorrow, they begin to listen. To say that I went through this and Jesus was there. I was here when Jesus was there. I was happy, Jesus was there. I was sad, but Christ was there. I was broke, Jesus was there. Job, everywhere Job went, God was with him. And Jesus taught, amen, that, you know, you blessed laying down, blessed getting up, blessed when people talk about you. You're just a blessed fellow. Amen. All right, Brother Hester.
Yes, sir. I was just thinking, you know, I was a little boy, and when I heard Deacon John McMillan in the church, he would always say, you know what you know. And Bishop, I want you to know that it took me, it was just 6 years ago that I got the revelation on that word. And all my life, I thought it was the dumbest phrase I ever heard, but after I went through my double transplant, I was laying there recovering. Mm-hmm. It just was clear as day to me. I know what I know now. And it made all the sense in the world. But up until that time, I thought it was a dumb statement, but I got the revelation on it. Mm-hmm. Just laying there recovering in the hospital, it made perfect sense to me. I know what I know. And I know that the Lord got me, and what he has for me, nothing is going to stop me from meeting my destination so long as I stay in the Word. And that's what I got from that. I know what I know now.
Amen.
But
amen. Beautiful.
It took all those years, and to me, it's pretty much like Paul being slapped down blind before his eyes really saw the light. And that's what happened to me.
Mm-hmm. So it's wonderful to, amen. To, and you know, Jesus was with you in operation. He was with there.
Yes, sir. I laid there, and it just made so much sense to me. I know what I know now. And you don't have to prove anything to anybody. I knew in my heart for the first time, I know what I know. And I know that the Lord is working through me. He's using me, and he has a purpose for me. But it took me laying to see it out there.
All right, that's the tackle box that Ella William was talking about. All right, last three digits, the four digits, 0226. Amen. Is Ella William, you on the air?
Yes, I'm still here.
Yes, sir.
No, I was just still thinking about what the gentleman was saying about how, you know, it's just so important to be around the Word of God and to just, it's God's Word is spirit and is life. And it's really significant for the saints to get to the place where we become so indulged, and I use the term indulged, in the Word of God that we become a walking testimony of Jesus. You know, I was reading in Proverbs chapter 22 about where Jesus says, I've written to you excellent things in counsels and knowledge so that you may know the certainty of the words of truth, so that you can give the words of truth to them that send unto you. God is sending people to us. We actually, when we walk into a place of business, wherever we make car dealership, it could be a store, at a park, a beach, wherever we are actually on a divine assignment. Mm-hmm. And we need to really realize that the people we come in contact with are just, it's just not a coincidence that we meet these people or they meet us. We need to focus on the fact that I'm sent here to minister somehow to this individual, or maybe even be ministered to, depending on, you know, where you are. But it takes the word engrafted. Jesus talked about engrafting the word, actually becoming a part. Jesus says the word became flesh and dwelt among us. We have to have so much word in us until the word consumes our flesh, and when people see us, they smell Christ. I think we want to get to, I would want to be to the place where when I walk into an environment, I want the aroma of Jesus to permeate from me.
Okay.
I want them to smell Christ. If I'm walking down the street and I'm about to turn a corner, we should want someone to smell Christ before we even they have physical sight of us. And we have to get to that place where we have so much word in us that people just notice a difference. And that's when you know you're really the mirror image of Jesus Christ. When that word is so engrafted in us, it just becomes a part of our character. We are just the word made flesh in human form in the 21st century.
Okay. All right. We have another caller. I believe I have another caller. Let's press one on your phone. Our technician can type you in. We have another caller. We'll press one. Yes, sir. Go right ahead. Hello?
Bishop, can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Brother Garrett, we're waiting on you.
You're waiting on me? Been having a technical problem. I've been pressing one for a while, but I just finally got in the host queue.
Okay.
I'm listening as much as I could, and I thank God for what I've been hearing. I just want to go back to what I've said in past times, not to mention if I know reputation of me, but I find out that Jesus taught them how to fish. You know that the scripture said, "Follow me, I'll make you fishers of men."
Mm-hmm.
I just want to refer to the fact he gave them and taught them how to fish.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But he didn't give them no bait.
All right.
And as he taught them, on the day of Pentecost, they became the bait.
Okay. All right.
And the word of God is not for the fish you fishing for until you catch them.
Okay.
The word is for you to fish.
Mm-hmm.
And I just heard the previous brother was talking,
mm-hmm.
and it's very much true. You gotta be full of the word if you gonna fish. Mm-hmm. See, this job that you got, you can't go fishing on the empty stomach.
Okay.
You gotta be full. See, cause what Jesus did was commanded them to go.
Mm-hmm.
See, and after he taught them, and they was after they was taught, then they had to wait to be filled, and when they got filled, then they start fishing. So, mm-hmm. so what I want to say was, as Brother Hester, I think it was that I heard, he talking about how we make disciples after Jesus. But really, the disciple is after us.
Mm-hmm.
But we bring them to Christ, and then we that are slated to teach or to preach or to encourage or to help. Well, it goes as God commanded.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I want to say about discipleship. It's a thing that only the patterns that Jesus, he said he's the way, and that's mm-hmm. the only way you can make them. Now there are other ways that you can come, but you ain't gonna last.
All right.
You see, and I said that because something I noticed today. I was in a service a few days ago, and I'm sitting listening. And I heard what the Lord say, but I didn't say it, cause I didn't think they was open to receive. Now today the disciples, it's good that we have someone to go to and somewhere to go. But now listen, you hear that God answers. He answers. He gives us money. He gives us this and he gives that. He's a great provider. But look at him now. Look at him now. To be his disciple, you got to give all that up. And
mm-hmm.
maybe not physically, but in your heart, you got to give it up. The effects of it, you have to give it up
mm-hmm.
in order to follow Jesus. So what the understanding is, yes, he bring, put food on your table. Yes, but now, wait a minute. What if he's slow to come? You
mm-hmm.
see, are you still his disciple? Am
okay.
I making any sense? What if the bill is overdue and you can't get your hand on the payment?
Mm-hmm.
Are you still his disciple? I thought about that situation with Mary and Martha and the brother Lazarus.
Okay.
And he took his time, you see. So
okay.
so to be a disciple, we get in us that he never late. Now I may be boiling over, but look here, he never late. You see
all
what
right.
I'm saying? I may think he's asleep, but he never sleeps. Am
mm-hmm.
I saying anything? You have to. We claim a whole lot of stuff, Bishop, and I'm not to criticize, but to improve and to instruct that you got to hold on. You can't tomorrow ain't a problem, but you got to make it to the end of this day. You see.
All right.
And a whole lot of things can take place. So I hope I got a point across that you got a whole lot and endure if you his disciple.
Now Jesus spent time, amen, and Jesus spent time with people, and that's what the making discipleship is, and we understand it. Number one, it came to, amen, fruition tonight, four or five of you agree, amen, the atmosphere has to be there. amen, and with the word of God being instructed by someone, that's what Jesus did. He taught. He took time, you know. Teaching take time. Some people learn different than others, amen. Some learn by seeing, and some need to hear. Some need to spend a little time and go over, amen. But the point is, amen, Christ wants us to make disciples. He wants us to take time with people, not to give them up too quick. I think we give it up our children too quick.
Too quick.
I mean, they're going to make mistakes. That's why they're children. They are children. And we have to take time with them. It took time.
That's right.
Pastor said earlier, amen, that it took him a long time to learn that statement, amen, was planted in his heart that, you know, that you know what you know, but that was planted. He was teaching him. And the tackle box, I think Ella William brought out, that the skills and things that God had given us, and, you know, we using that, and we should use that. We don't know what's going to draw somebody to us, and we have to take time. Those that are not in the pulpit, those of you that are listening, don't figure that, well, I'm not going to be a bishop, I'm not going to be this. You don't know what you are. You are learning to follow Christ. And that you're learning, you got to reach back and teach somebody else. Somebody's coming to you, you got to tell them what you know. Tell them what you know. All right? Amen. We slowly winding down, but we want to make sure, amen, it's important, very important, that we do reduplicate ourselves. It's very important that somebody's learning from us. Somebody's learning from us. All right, just press 1. We're going down panel. We got about 5 minutes. Amen. Anybody else have anything to say? Amen. You on? Go right ahead. Go right ahead. All right. All right. We have, amen, we're going back up. Amen. We're going back up to Brother Hester, Ella Williams, and Ella Garrett. Amen. You can give us about 30 a minute. Amen. And then you want to share you help.
Fish, I just know that as we go along, one thing I didn't know that, you know, in your homes or whether you get to go to church or not, if someone at any time has said a word of God to you in your life, and at some point in your life, that word is going to manifest. It's a seed being planted in you. And today, I know that there are many a single family home that don't have the word or don't have the Bible in the home, and no one is speaking the word in the home, no one's taking them to church. But somewhere along the line, if they get a word from anyone at any time, that word is going to be a seed planted in their spirit. And at some point or another, the Holy Spirit is going to fertilize that seed in them. And that's what's going to draw them to the word as they get older. Because now, the word is not often spoken in the homes now the way it was when we came along. So somewhere along the line, someone is going to speak a word to them.
Okay. All right. All right.
And I like this. Say, for anyone who may be listening who may not be a minister per se, as you mentioned, bishop or a prophet or teacher or evangelist, the fact is, because you're saved, God tremendously loves you. And that should be more than enough to realize that you are so important to God that he looked over everybody else in your family and said, I choose you. It's like being an adopted child who you go into an orphanage and that person did not have the child biologically, but there's something about that child that was special. And every one of us is unique in Christ. Every one of us. None of us are the same. We're unique to God, and God has designed each of us for a purpose. And that purpose is to, as you mentioned, Bishop, to draw someone to Christ through the special gifts that he has imparted unto us.
All right. All right. All right. God bless you. God bless you for that. See, Minister Dan, you got a minute of closing statement you want to make?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yes, go right ahead. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I thought about that saying that says sheep beget sheep. And I thought about my grandmother. We talking about fish. I could say fish, go out and get the fish. And I thought about my granddaddy used to go on the boat and fishing. I used to catch him. I used to be scared to put them in my hand, so he'll pick it up for me. And usually we'll take it home to grandma, scale them, and clean, and gut them, and clean them. Mm-hmm. I think about the thing you told me one time. You say, go out there, because Tater Town's a lot of fish over there, just walking around all type of night. I mentioned to him, and he said, once you get them, what you do, you throw them over on the bank, and that's bring them to church, and let you gut them out from all and get them clean. Some of those from filthiness of the flesh and different things, they be like cigarettes. I mean, a lot of them on drugs. Hallelujah. And that's why we have things set up in church. We have evangelists, got deacons, got prophets for the edification of the church. And you can't, one thing, the body is made up of many members. It ain't made up of one person. You can't give it all that you know. Something said from everybody.
All right. We got one more. I'm going to give Ella Garrett about a minute here. Elder Garrett, you still there?
Well, Bishop, I enjoyed listening, and when I give God praise for what I heard, and I also like to close with this thought that you have to endure hardness. You have to remember that Jesus said that you suffer many things. And so what you have to do is learn how to be a good steward, if you will, or a good manager, so that you can manage your feelings. You set your affections on things above. You press toward the mark. You follow. In other words, you just obedient to the word of God, and this is what gonna hold you together. I didn't say that you won't blow up or feel like you're out of place, but the Lord promised that He never leave you. So, just I say to the those that are listening to be encouraged, and just keep on walking, cause you're on the right track.
All right, God bless you. God bless all of you. Father, we thank you for the word tonight. We thank you. Say, where two or three come together in your name, and oh God, give us strength to be able to be patient and understanding for others. That you want us to use our life to train others and talk to others and let them know that there is a hope, there is a better life, there is a better outlook, amen, to accept those things that we can't change. And if we lose something, we know that you're going to be there to help us to get these material back, because material is nothing to you, amen. Father, you want us to use our material, oh God, for the glory of God, the upbuilding of the kingdom of God. That's why you give it to us. And thank you for it. And we ask you to look upon each and every one there. And Lord, we ask you to look upon our young people, wherever they are, and the grandmothers and the mothers that sacrifice it. Oh, God, young ladies and men that's going through things. Amen. Don't be upset. Don't be discouraged because you lost this and not that. You didn't lose nothing with Christ. Christ building you up to make you a better person, because He is. God bless you. God bless you.